listening to the Gorman Bear Girls podcast. We're just two girls making memories and eating our way through life together. Welcome to our table. Hi, I'm Star.
And I'm Jen.
And we are the Gorman Bear Girls.
Hey, Star.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I am well. We are back at our table. Here we are, back at the table. After a weekend of partying.
I know.
Well, 40-something-year-old partying. I think that's different than...
Yeah, it might be different than
the old definition of
right
partying.
I feel like we had multiple days, though, of things going on. Maybe it's just because they all kind
of
ran into
preparing.
Each other. Yeah, there were multiple prep days, and then Friday, and there was another prep day.
We prepped for probably a week, a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple nights. So this is part two of our...
Yeah, we should say that.
Yeah, of Gorman Bear Girls Plan a Winter Ball.
Or is it an avalanche?
And the weather was even trying to be cooperative with the whole theme
for
Saturday, because we were afraid that people...
Kept us guessing.
It did. And I think you had texted earlier in the day, did anybody... express any concern about coming tonight? Is anybody canceled? Nope.
No.
Were all just planning on, and my goodness, I mean, it was like perfect. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It's not that the weather was perfect, but we didn't end up with crazy snow like they were calling for Saturday night. It was rainy and...
Yeah, we woke up Sunday morning
to a lot of snow.
Right. But nothing that interfered with the party, which was nice.
No. Yeah. It was. I mean, it would have been kind of nice if there was a little bit of snow, but I was perfectly happy with it being the way that it was, because I did not want... I mean, we had already decided that if people didn't show up for your birthday party, that we were going to eat all the cheese and all the cake
and
all
the food. And we were going to be good with that.
And we were going to be fine with it. It was going to be fine. Like, I would have made it here, you know, it would have been no problem, but... Yeah. So.
Yeah. So just to catch people up and maybe recap a little bit.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't listened to part one, we were planning a birthday celebration for me.
For you.
It feels weird to say.
I know. But so then, like kind of clarify this, that anytime we are doing a party together, we share a brain, our ideas like flow like crazy, and typically... we work hand in hand, side by side, to do everything. So you had requested that it was at your house. So obviously you had some things to do for that, because you had to, you know, prep your house and stuff like that. But we did, I mean, you did hang some snowflakes from the ceiling in the like kitchen family room area. But other than that, we tried to keep you pretty much, you know,
yeah.
So you didn't have to do your own birthday prep. So, guys, we did not make her plan, like, do her own party. But she did make something for the party as well. We'll talk about that. But it was something that she had really, well, that we had tried previous and enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to do that. So she did actually make something for consumption for the party.
So we'll get to that.
We will.
Okay, so let's start with the evening. We had said before what we wanted to do and gave a plan. And if you weren't able to listen to that episode, you may want to go back to part one to see what we had planned originally, because today we're going to talk about what actually happened,
how the party
unfolded.
Right. So even in the title, when we say it's kind of funny play on words all the way around, just saying like we plan a winter ball or is it an avalanche? I mean, those two, like winter and avalanche, go together. But also our ideas are typically like an avalanche. So a lot of times what happens is we start planning a party and what we think we're going to do. Oh, that happens. But then even more.
It escalates.
Yeah, it escalates into other things. So,
and in this case, we'll just say it had a snowball effect.
It got bigger and bigger. It did. So we did a few things this time that we would probably not normally do.
Well, before, but now they may be normal because.
Ooh, yeah, the guys are in so much trouble, guys. These parties are going to be out of control.
But fun.
Our next one, we'll have to scale back and do something real. Well, we did. We had a scaled back party when we did our
Christmas.
Our Tis a Tacky Christmas party. Yeah, so we were due. It was like we put everything into this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with the whole winter ball theme, which is what she requested. And we had snowflakes hanging from the ceiling. And originally the idea for the design when, you know, you were saying you wanted all these snowflakes, you know, stuff like that. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to take and we'll just put some balloons. We'll do helium balloons and hang one snowflake from each balloon and just cover the ceiling in your dining room, which we used kind of as our cocktail hour space. I thought, oh, we'll do that. But then I was thinking, I kind of like the idea of creating a cloud type effect. And so we put multiple balloons together to create more of a cloud and then hung snowflakes from that.
Yeah, I went crazy snowflake shopping on Amazon.
You did.
All kinds of different. I think, didn't I text you? Like, I wanted to make sure you were sitting down before you read the text of how many snowflakes.
Right,
we were
because when
with.
They came in, what did you say? There were 120 snowflakes that you were putting together, but that was after we had already ordered three boxes of other snowflakes that I think totaled close to 200 snowflakes in there. Now, those ones were different sizes. So we used those. Those had like little teeny tiny snowflakes that we ended up putting, you know, just I spaced them into some of the greenery and we put some on trees and hung some from the ceiling. And so put some in the archway. But there were lots of snowflakes.
People are going to be like, the archway.
Yeah, archway. You had an archway?
We Facebook did. Marketplace. It's a great tool.
Yeah.
To find things that you need for much less expensive than you would pay if you were to buy them
this
brand
is
new.
True. Yeah. Found an incredible archway on there that somebody bought, used for their wedding. They paid almost $300 for it. And it was a steal by the time they just wanted it out of their house. So it was perfect. We decorated that up. There were white lights on it. Now, we couldn't figure out. There were some of the lights in a little patch were out on there.
But we
I'm
just
still not convinced,
it.
Yeah, that it was just something that we need to, like, go back and look.
But we got it for $65, and it's a beautiful archway.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how many more times we're going to use that for different things in the winter.
Exactly. So, guys, if you're planning a party and you would like us to bring an archway and decorate for you, we've got one. Yeah. So we did that. So we hung snowflakes everywhere and just went with this whole kind of complete. Everything was silver. We had silver sequin tablecloths and silver chargers and did white and clear plates, you know, the dishware. We had blue glassware, extra silverware, and we'll post some pictures so you can see the table because it was more of a, we tried to make this more of a semi-formal event. The ladies were in long full-length dresses and the gentlemen were wearing suits and ties. Again, not something that we always dress up like that when we have a party, but we kind of thought it would be fun to do that, something a little bit different. And then so I wanted the tablescape to be more formal. So the more dishes, the more glassware, the more silverware on the table, the more formal that it appears. Although there wasn't enough space to do some of the things, you know, that I would have liked to put on the table because we did. I'm like knocking into things here. I'm like banging things around, trying to drink coffee, guys. I'm a little sleepy. There wasn't enough space because we were using rented tables so we could create like one long.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times those tables just aren't as wide as using like a dining room table. The depth of the table isn't there.
But it looked beautiful. It really did look nice. You did a great job.
It was. And then we had Jennifer's husband, Paul, had changed out all the lights everywhere into the soft blue lighting, and we used white and blue lights to decorate. We had some light curtains, which we talked about that in our lot. We really did pretty much stick to kind of what we talked about. Nothing really transformed into anything different. It just maybe became a little bit more like we had more snowflakes than we thought we were going to have, and probably put a little bit more on the table than we had thought, and kind of changed the idea of what it was going to be originally. The vision that I was thinking for snowflakes above the table was a little bit different. It was a little more, it was like wider and more scattered, and it looked, you know, like it took over more of the space on the ceiling in the area where we sat to eat. So that was nice. That looked good.
Yeah, I would say something we've learned from party planning over the years, I know at least for myself, when I would have a vision to do something, I would want to do every possible space that I could. And I recognize that you really can't do anything great, especially when you're working with a budget, if you're trying to do too much. So something that we do is we choose a space or two spaces in this case and really decorate them the best that we can instead of trying to do this look everywhere. Because I used to want it to be like if somebody went to the bathroom, they would have that look. If somebody, you know, and so we've condensed things and have these areas that are really, really beautiful. And so I think if we were to give somebody a tip, it would be to choose a space and really work on that one space.
Or two.
Or two.
Yeah. Or whatever you did too. However you, right.
But like, I have a nice size foyer. We really didn't do anything in the foyer.
We wanted to. That was the thing. Really talked about that back and forth. Like, we were going to do the archway in there, and we were going to decorate and have things coming down. Like, your foyer has a very high ceiling because it's two stories coming into the front of the house. And so we could have really done something there. But once people walk through the foyer, because it isn't an open space, I mean, it's an open space walking in, but it doesn't open up into any of the areas where we were that it would have been visible.
Yeah, you go through a hallway.
It was kind of like, we're going to lose that. And so to concentrate on the area or areas where you will be spending the majority of your time makes the most sense. And to just keep it cohesive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that's kind of most people that do any party planning are probably like, yeah, that's a given. Keep it cohesive. And you can, if you know, do something simple if you wanted to put, you know, in like you were saying, oh, I want to put things in the bathroom or whatever. You can. I mean, we've done this before. You put a small floral arrangement or something that matches what you've done in your other spaces into there. And that's sometimes you could just pull a little bit from somewhere else to put that in there.
But it becomes overwhelming really, really quickly if you have like these huge grandiose plans for everywhere. So I would say start with one space and then see what you can do there and then work your way around if you have time for more, because you also want to enjoy your party. You don't want to be so overworked that people come, you're not ready, you're exhausted because you're working so hard to have everything looking just so.
Right. I think the other thing is that it's great to have lists and it's good to, you know, you brainstorm ideas, but when it comes down to it, you have to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that flexibility, what it does is it actually provides for you something better than what you would have expected.
Right.
What I have found in doing, it's a little bit more difficult when you're doing something, like if I'm doing for a wedding, somebody wants something, they're expecting something, you know, I may design something in the floral centerpieces that might be a little bit different from what I envisioned in my mind. People kind of entrust you to do that kind of a thing. But when we're doing something like with a tablescape or whatever, it transforms as you're building it. So you may think, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. And then you decide, I'm pulling that out. I'm putting this in. So be flexible, because then things end up being even better than what you may have thought. And in this case, we went with a very simple tablescape because the place settings in and of themselves with the lighting provided a certain appearance, the way that it caught the blue, like the blue lights were like twinkling off of
the sequin silver tablecloth.
And just with everything. So I just did a lightly flocked greenery down the center of the table with some LED snowflake lights that I had ended up tucking kind of up underneath, that they themselves too kind of sparkled off of what was on the table. And it was really, it was very simple and understated, and it looked, I mean, the table was full. Mm-hmm. The table was really full with everything on there. So it didn't require some, you know, elaborate centerpiece that you can't really fit on a table like that anyway. So I would just say be flexible with things. You have an idea, but you're doing it for yourself. So it's what you like. It's what you want to do. Let it kind of.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah, right. For sure.
So people came in.
They did.
And they went into the dining room, which we had set up for cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Anais from Chantal's come and did a beautiful cheese tower. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So she did a cheese tower. She came in a little bit early and set that up for us. She decorated it with flowers, and we'll go ahead and that'll definitely be in a post as well. It was absolutely beautiful. It looks like a wedding cake.
Oh, yeah.
And it's seriously. So for people who are, you know, looking for something that is an alternative, and it does have a fancy appearance, but she'll ask you questions anyway. If it wasn't a fancy party, I'm pretty sure she could have decorated it just about anyway. It could have been very woodsy looking, or it could have been very,
yeah,
it depends on
your event.
Yeah, depends on whatever it is. So it's a, I think we might have a before and after. Actually, I think she took an after shot. It was beautiful when it started. It was destroyed. We really dug into that.
Well, I remember saying at the beginning, this looks so beautiful, I almost don't want to cut it because you want to eat it because it's amazingly delicious. So once we cut it, we didn't feel bad anymore because we tasted it, and then you just wanted more and more. But yeah, it looks destroyed.
Yeah.
When it's done.
But it was delicious, and everybody loved it. So the bottom layer was a Stichelton, which is, it's a blue, it's a Stilton blue, I believe. It's like a milder kind of a blue. So for people that are like, ooh, I don't like blue cheese, or I don't like Gorgonzola, I think that everybody at the party,
enjoyed
that.
It.
Yeah. And then the second.
But you don't have to get that. If you're someone that doesn't like that, you choose your own cheeses.
Yeah, you can choose your own
cheese. These were just my favorite.
Right. These are the ones that you had liked from us being in the shop and things that we had tasted. And then we had the St. Angel, which is a triple cream.
Favorite.
It is like butter. And that one was completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It was, well, everything was gone. There was a little bit of the bottom layer left, I think mainly because it was harder to get to kind of the center part as we were digging through the top ones, and they're like kind of crumbling on top. But everybody loves that cheese. It is so delicious.
It is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is really like butter. And then on top of that was the Harbison. And then at the very top was a sheep's brie.
Mm-hmm.
All very, very delicious and
excellent.
Beautiful. And I had said to you, Jen, looking back at the pictures, did you get a chance? Did you go back and look at the picture and see what I was talking about?
And I think if you zoom in on the picture, we'll see. I don't know if you did this or not, because we really didn't talk after that brief mm-hmm. exchange. They look like little divots, like around the cheese. But if you look at it from far, it looks like a string of pearls.
It does. It did. It looked like that in the... when we post a picture, guys, you'll see this, that everything in the room is like kind of a blue hue, but it is the most, I don't know, it just looks so beautiful. So it is the second layer from the bottom, which is the St. Angel, and around it, it looks like it has little pearls on it, and it's uh-huh. just because of the way that it was wrapped, but
yeah.
they're almost like spaced perfectly mm-hmm. in everything.
I think that was very eye-catching for guests. I don't think people were expecting to see that.
Mm-mm.
Unless they had listened to the podcast previously, to walk in and to look at that. It was something different.
Yeah.
You know, we don't normally do that. And so that was a lot of fun, even just to see people's reactions.
Right. Our guests expect cheese because we always do that, but to have it that way. And then so here's something else that we did, and we did say that we were going to do this as well, is that we decided that we were just going to keep it to the cheese tower. We weren't going to do anything else because it is an investment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, I mean, you're getting it, wonderful cheese, but it is an investment. So we did not want that to go to waste.
Right.
We wanted people to consume that. And And frankly, I mean, I think that that was, it kind of eliminates, well, there's too many choices. And then you don't want, a lot of times when you have different hors d'oeuvres and things, some things that are like really bready, although we did have crackers on the table and we had some jam as well. It just, you don't want people to like eat too much that's super heavy. And I know that might kind of sound funny, like we're saying, well, like cheese, like you can eat a lot of cheese, that can seem super heavy. But I kind of had planned out the meal in such a way as well to kind of space things out a little bit, and things that weren't, like we weren't serving bread with the meal, and we were trying to make sure that everybody could go straight through from having this amazing cheese tower all the way to the end with the gorgeous cake that Casey Renee had prepared. So So we kept it to that. So sometimes it's keep things simple. I mean, if you want to do, if you're not going to do cheeses, if you're not going to do a cheese tower, you know, you could do a couple of cheeses and some charcuterie and maybe some other things. I mean, we've done things before where we'll put out grape leaves, or we make little, you know, sometimes you've done stuffed mushrooms, or I mean, you can do any kind of thing for.
Yeah. And people enjoy that. I mean, any kind of appetizer type thing that you want to do. But I really feel like this was so beautiful and it was so delicious. Nobody missed any of the normal things that we would normally put out.
Right. I agree.
And I didn't feel, I feel like I ate a lot of cheese, but I didn't feel overly full or full when I sat down to eat my meal. I think it was really nice and causes me to rethink maybe for, you know, future parties.
Right.
How we're going to actually
plan
out
that, the
beginning.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times what happens is, and I don't, I mean, I do it at home when I'm doing family holidays and stuff too. And we do it every time we're doing a party together. You put so much stuff out to start and then you sit down for your meal and everybody's like, gosh, I'm so full, you know?
Right.
So
yeah, this was the perfect amount.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And like you said, it is an investment and it didn't go to waste and people enjoyed it and they weren't mixing it with a bunch of other flavors and they were able to really taste that cheese and what that was like. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think it was a great decision we made to do that.
And so we did pair it with some wine that was suggestions that Anais had given us previously for those particular cheeses. But we had started it, you know, we had the welcome drink.
Yes.
We had talked about that. So the welcome drink was it's a winter white Cosmo. It was kind of something we had had a couple of years back at Bonefish Grill. We really liked it. It suited the theme, trying to just keep things with a color, the whole color scheme. And it is a, is there vodka or gin in that?
Vodka.
Okay. So it's vodka, Cointreau, simple syrup, white cranberry juice, and lime. I think that's everything that's in there. So people were drinking that too and having the cheese. They were having, they were doing that. And then
when we do welcome drinks, we make enough for one person to have one welcome drink.
Right.
We don't go overboard on that.
Right.
And then we move on to whatever, because we like to do different drinks per courses, because we're into not so much just the, you know, like drinking as we are in pairing beverages with our meals and what that tastes like.
Right. Well, especially when, if you're doing something where you're having people all sit at the table and you're serving different courses, it is kind of fun to do that. There are times when we've done things that are more buffet style, or when we've done picnic type things in the summer and things like that, where you just have a variety of different things for people to choose from. And that's, and that works in that particular setting. But for something like this, we kind of like the idea of pairing specific wines with each course and things like that. And
yes,
and we're more wine girls, so that's what we do. But you can, even when it comes to cheese, Anais was talking about this, you can pair, there are whiskeys that pair well with cheeses and beer. So you can, it really is basically whatever you want to do.
Yeah, what you like to do. And if you don't drink at all, and you know, there are non-alcoholic beverages that would taste really great with cheese. You can experiment with those and do the, you know, I think sometimes we don't talk about that enough, because there are people who don't want to have any alcohol or can't have any alcohol for whatever reason. And, you know, you need to know you can do really cool pairings that do not include alcohol.
Sure. Absolutely. And then the other thing is, too, when we're saying if you keep things simple, if you offer too many options, sometimes it becomes overwhelming for people.
Yeah, for you as the host and for them as the guest to make choices.
Right.
Both ways.
Right.
You know.
So we did that. We probably spent about an hour, maybe a little over an hour, just in that kind of everybody was walking around,
mingling,
talking, enjoying cheese. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to the table. And for the first course, I was super disappointed. I don't know. And if anybody out there has a suggestion for me, I would love to know where you buy produce this time of year that you have a good selection. I thought, so I went to the Market District in Fox Chapel, and I thought, surely I'm going to be able to get frisée. Mm-hmm. I've had some places lately, like we've gone out to eat and I've had some, it's been in my place. So I know it's around. I know some, you know, we're getting it somewhere. They had no frisée. I really wanted to use that as part of what I was doing in the first course.
We should have probably talked to some, I mean, we know some chefs now.
Yeah.
And right. Got some information.
Yeah.
And
hey,
we didn't
to
do
get
that.
The in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I could have bought some off of somebody, but anyway, so I just did a fancy lettuce and I added radicchio in for color, because we had talked about on part one of the podcast, I was thinking of doing, I wanted to do a variation on avocado toast. I was going to do something either with like a crostini or maybe on a cracker, kind of a crisp cracker type thing, but I had decided to keep it just a little bit different in order to add a little bit of salt kind of to it. I made Parmesan Reggiano crisps, and I did those in the oven, and those are super simple. You just grate the cheese, you set the oven. I mean, you put them in like 3 to 5 minutes. You kind of put a couple tablespoons down there, and you want to space them out enough so they don't run into each other.
On parchment, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did mine on like Silpat liner, but you can do them on parchment as well, and they're just super simple. And we've actually done something like that in the past. I made bowls.
Yeah. They were really good. Yeah, because then you eat your salad and then you eat your bowl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's really simple. If you just, as soon as you take them out of the oven, they're pliable. Mm-hmm. Give them, like, let them cool just for a little, around a minute, but they're still pliable then, as long as it's still warm, and you can form it onto anything you want.
Yeah.
And make a shape out of it. I did those obviously larger than what the crisps were, but anyway.
Well, the salad was delicious.
So I did a yuzu kind of, and what I did was I found at Trader Joe's, they have a yuzu hot sauce. And yuzu is a, I think it's like a Japanese citrus kind of, it's similar to lemon. And I used that. I did a white vinaigrette that I was making, but I added a little bit of that in, and I seasoned my, just the way I always make my vinaigrette. But I added that in just to give a little kick of heat to it and make it a little bit more citrusy. And then on the top, because who doesn't love avocado toast? We just did an avocado. We mashed the avocado. I put a little bit of red pepper flakes in there, just a little bit. And I actually used a tiny splash of the dressing on there, and I squeezed some lime into that, and that created the for the top. And you know, I did not take a picture of those because I was like, okay, everybody's at the table now. Hurry up. Let's plate these and get these out. But
it was really good. Really, really good.
I just thought something basic. You don't want to do too many overwhelming flavors together. So that's what we did for that. And then for the second course, and we paired that with a white wine. Mm-hmm. And then, and it was I do believe that was a French, it was a white French, like a Bordeaux blend that we had used. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
We probably have extra bottles left downstairs, but I didn't.
Mm. I don't know if we do.
No?
I think we consumed all the white. But anyway.
Okay. It was delicious.
It was very good. Moving along, of course, too. then we did... So we've talked about this in previous podcasts as well. Jen's favorite thing to order at Eddie V's is the crab fried rice. Mm-hmm. So we, I looked online and I found a recipe that was like the copycat recipe, because you can do this, people, everywhere. Somebody always, you know, has the ambition to figure out, I'm going to figure this recipe out. Or sometimes somebody leaks some information out. But I took the recipe and I modified it a little bit because I wanted to do some other things. Again, I had a couple reasons for it. You're doing this meal with several courses. We start with cheese. We're ending with cake. We're drinking wine. We do try to be a little health conscious.
Yeah.
We don't eat like this all the time.
Well, we're fans of food, but we're also fans of buttoning our jeans.
Yes. For real. Yeah. And so, and we had a party that was going to be the next day as well. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to, if I could cut back in anything, like I was trying to make things a little bit healthier. There was still plenty of butter that was in there. There's oil in there. Instead of using just white rice, I used a brown basmati rice. And instead of using all rice, I also bought riced cauliflower and riced broccoli. And I took about 1/3 of the recipe that would have been rice and I put that into there. And I thought it added just a nice different texture to it.
It was delicious.
And then it had in there the red Fresno chilies that were cut up, and there's garlic, and it was just, and scallions, and then the crab, and it was good. So I don't know if it was like at all comparable to what you have at Eddie V's, but
it was very, very good. Yeah. Oh, I loved it. It was great. And it got my 26-year-old son to eat some vegetables that he didn't know he was eating. So
that is so funny.
Polly, if you're listening, which he probably isn't.
No, he's probably not, but whatever. And that's why he said to me, we need to talk about this, he said to me. Yeah. Polly's eating vegetables. And you know what? So we did have some of that left over. I have to say, my daughter Isabella will never eat cauliflower. I'm like, Bella, I made crab fried rice for Jen. You should have some. She loves crab, and there's mushrooms in it, baby Bella mushrooms. And I gave her some.
And she liked it?
She liked it.
Yeah.
She had no idea there was broccoli or cauliflower. Usually with the broccoli and cauliflower, like, she's sitting there. Guys, so I want you all to know out there, all of our listeners, my daughter will eat like 2 broccoli florets and drink 36 ounces of water with it. I am not even kidding. She's 19. This is no joke. So she was eating it. She was enjoying it. So for all of you,
it's a mom win.
Yeah, it is a mom win. So for all of you who have young kids that won't eat vegetables, if you could get them to eat like fried rice in some way, take some rice, take some riced cauliflower, riced broccoli. Now you've got to be, you know, you've got to be smart about the ratio, because you want it to be more rice than that, but you can sneak that in there and they'll never know.
It was excellent. It really was good.
It was tasty.
And of course, I like all those things, but like I said, my son, who's 26, he ate it and loved it, and he doesn't even like mushrooms. And I actually did say that to him as I was eating another bowl yesterday for breakfast.
Yum.
I did say, there are mushrooms in here. I can't believe you ate it. And he said, well, I felt like the flavor was so good. And I really didn't taste the mushrooms.
You know, the other thing I did too, because the recipe calls for soy sauce, is I used the Bragg's liquid aminos.
Which I love Bragg's.
Instead, because we are, I don't know how many of you out there, again, if you're younger and you're listening, get it, like, we're in our 40s. And so at this point in life, we're pretty salt sensitive. Mm-hmm. Bragg's doesn't, I mean, it definitely, it has that salty kind of flavor to it, but you can use that in place of soy sauce, and it's not as, like, I don't have as bad of an effect with that as I do with soy sauce.
Yeah, because with just soy sauce, as much as I love it, my wedding ring is not fitting on the next morning. It's going to take some time. That's
and it's
just
healthy.
The way it happens. No.
The
Bragg's is really happy.
Yeah.
It's happy. Healthy.
It's healthy and
it's
happy.
It's happy and healthy.
It's happy and healthy.
It makes me happy and healthy.
Right?
Oh my.
And then so for our final course, it was a toss up. I wasn't sure what to do, but really when it comes down to it, I know like Jen likes short ribs. And so I thought I'll do braised short ribs. And I had somebody say, wow, that was really an undertaking for you to do braised short ribs for that many people. Like I was trying to share my oven space, doing other things. And so I really it was an unconventional way to do short ribs. Any time that I've ever done anything with them in the past, I've never done that many at a time. I had 15 pretty sizable ones that I that I had made, and so I did them like three at a time in my it's gonna come to me any minute. Like, here we go. Why can I not think? In my cast iron skillet, I browned them off, all sides of them. I did marinate them in cab,
which was amazing,
with some herbs and garlic. And there was a little bit of orange juice that I had put into there. That's a little bit of a different kind of a thing, but I wanted to use that to kind of help break down the fibers of the meat a little bit. And then I ended up finishing them off in an electric roaster. But yeah, I did them, and I had beef broth that I had mixed with some of the, you know, after I was done browning them all off, I deglazed the pan with some of the red wine marinade that I had used. And then I added beef broth, and I used tomato paste, and I created a thing like with that, put that in there. I actually threw some carrots and some celery in while they were cooking. And then every like half an hour, 45 minutes, I was just turning them. And they were fall off the bone.
Yeah, they were delicious and very, very tender.
And then we just did that with simple rainbow carrots. Roasted rainbow carrots. I did those in the oven just with...
Beautiful and delicious.
Just with oil, olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, trying to keep
that. Yeah, it looked so nice plated also. Mm. It was really beautiful.
Well, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then for dessert, we had the cake that Casey Renee from the Whitfield at the Ace Hotel in Pittsburgh had baked for us. And it was beautiful.
It was. It fit the theme just perfectly.
When I picked it up, the girl that had brought it out for me, she said, "Do you want to see it?" And I said, "I do." And she like cracked it open. I looked at it and I said, and I had even messaged Casey and told her, I said, "Oh my gosh, seriously?" It looked like she had come into the space and saw what it was decorated like and then did the cake, because mm-hmm. it was perfect.
It
the
really
colors
was.
Were perfect. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And so,
and for as beautiful it was as it was, it tasted
was
even better.
Oh,
it was
my gosh.
So good.
It was. It was absolutely delicious. And we just put that, I decorated with some greens around there, some live like evergreen, and I put some silver kind of things. And anyway, but the cake, that was the only thing that you didn't really know. What was, I mean, you knew about the cake, but I decided that I wasn't going to tell Jen what flavor. And she's like, yeah, don't tell me, because then that'll be a surprise. Because originally you were like, almond cake with raspberry filling, which is fine. I love almond cake with raspberry filling. But then you were like, no, surprise me, pick something else. Because we do that almond
yeah.
cake with raspberry filling. Like, we can kind of get that anytime. But so...
It was lemon.
It was. It was lemon cake with a mixed berry filling and a vanilla buttercream. And
it was
delicious.
So good.
Oh my gosh. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
That buttercream was so light and fluffy and perfect. Not over. Sometimes my husband will be like, "How dare you say this?" Because he likes everything completely overly sweet, sugar laden. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
You know. And the lemon was perfect. It wasn't overwhelming. I mean, it was just, it was amazing. The cake
was
absolutely amazing. Very, very good. So I would recommend, if you need a cake, give them a call there at the Whitfield. She does an amazing job.
Yeah, she really does. It looked beautiful and it tasted amazing.
Yeah. And then we finished off the evening so we had champagne with our... We did red wine with the braised short ribs. We didn't even talk about the wine there. And then with dessert, we did champagne with the cake.
And we had a palate cleanser, but we forgot about it during the meal.
We did.
And had it after.
Yeah. It was a little bit stressful. So we're trying to plate the meals individually. My husband, Scott, was helping me do that so that we could, you know, serve things out so people are just sitting at the table, feel like you're at a nice, fancy kind of restaurant just being served your meal. And so we're trying to hurry through that. And yeah, so the one thing that Jen wanted to do for the party was to make these whiskey sour sorbet palate cleansers, which we had at another gathering last month. And we're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing.
Yeah, because usually I just do a lemon sorbet mm-hmm. palate cleanser,
which is delicious.
But this was different.
It was different. But it was very, very good. I wanted to do it specifically between the crab fried rice and the braised short ribs. I'm thinking this is the perfect time to do this. But
it was kind of like an extra dessert at the end of the night.
It was. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. I'm like, oh no. And I passed it. So that way everybody was up like mingling around. So I grabbed a silver tray. I put them all on there and I just walked around and passed them out to everybody. Those were very good with a little maraschino cherry on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Yeah. And then we just kind of danced the night away.
We did.
After that. And that was a lot of fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. So for those of you who were interested in hearing our before and after of this party, just something a little bit different, because we would like our listeners to hear what we do when we're doing things at home.
Yeah. And can I also just say one of my favorite parts of the evening was that Anais actually joined us.
She did.
And that wasn't planned. But her husband was doing something that evening, and so she came and delivered the cheese, and then we offered her a welcome drink, and she had that, and then we said, you know what, why don't you stay and have dinner? And she took us up on our offer.
She did.
And it made me feel so happy, because we always say welcome to our table. So I felt like we got to welcome her to our table, and it wasn't planned,
no,
which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And try to make her feel as welcome and at home as possible, which I really think,
I think she did. Yeah.
She had a great time. She stayed throughout the entire evening, mm-hmm. and that was amazing. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, to have people, unexpected people, that you can just sort of feel like you're rolling out the red carpet for.
Right.
And have them enjoy the evening. That's what it's all about. Well, it made me really happy.
And then in conversation with her, we found out something else that is like totally crazy. So we're planning an event with her, with some other people, for later in like mid-March. And so as I was having a conversation with her about it, she said, oh yeah, that would be great, because I'll be tan. And I'm like, oh, where are you going? And she said, Punta Cana. And I'm like, you're going to Punta Cana? Wait, what week are you going? We're going to Punta Cana.
And she told you the week.
Yeah,
and we're going the same week.
Yeah. And she's only going to be, we're a couple resorts away from each other. So we're hoping that
we're
going to
meet up.
Yeah, meet up while we're there. So funny.
Such a small world.
It is.
You just never know. We just met her and now we're going on vacation.
Yeah, it's already like we're having vacation together.
Right.
So funny. Yeah. So anyway, that was fun. But it was great that she stayed. And I think she really did feel, I mean, everybody was like having conversation with her. It was so fun.
Yeah. Everyone enjoyed her company.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. I am super, super glad that she stayed.
And I think that's another element to what we do and not getting stressed about it, because we rented Shivari chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented the exact amount that we needed.
We did.
And we were like, you know what? Let's just pull up a chair, any chair to the table. It doesn't matter. That's what we're trying to tell people. Like, you can go above and beyond and do all this crazy stuff that we did, but you don't have to. You can pull up any chair. It's not about the chairs. It's not about the perfect setting. It's not about the perfect food. It's about who is occupying the space around the table.
The environment that you create, and that somebody who, for all intents and purposes, she is, I mean, so we've been to her shop a few times. We did do a podcast with her, but it's not like this is somebody who you would expect, oh, now she's coming into, I mean, she really came into what is our environment. These are the couples that this was more of kind of our intimate group of friends. This wasn't a big open event where there were multiple people coming. This wasn't like our Christmas open house where neighbors come and friends come. This was a very close-knit group of people that were here together. And the fact that it made me feel really happy that she felt at home. She felt comfortable and so welcome to be a part of that. And
that's our aim in everything that we do. And so it was sort of like defined that evening or something. And I really, it was probably one of my favorite parts of the evening that we were able to welcome her in.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I'm so glad that she took us up on the, took us up on the invitation to stay. That was so fun.
Yes. So our next party will probably be, I'm sure we'll do something for Valentine's Day. Right. So we'll talk about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And before then, they'll probably be hearing about some more restaurants.
Absolutely.
We're going to get back on the restaurant wagon next week.
Back on the restaurant wagon. Yep. We'll be talking about somewhere. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
So thanks for listening today, guys. And if you'd like to follow us, you can do so on Instagram. And we'll be posting pictures the day that this drops, which is today, Wednesday. We'll post some pictures to kind of go along with so you can see what our party ended up being. And then that is at Gormandburg on Instagram, GOURMANDBURGH. If you have an idea or a comment or anything you would like to share with us, maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you know somebody that would like to be featured on our podcast. Maybe you would like to be featured on our podcast. Shoot us an email. You can reach me, STAR at GormandburgGirls, GOURMANDBURGHGIRLS.com. And Jen, they can reach you at
Jen@GormandburgGirls.com.
Right.
Jen with one N.
That's right. Some people spell it with two.
Yes. So, and if you would be so kind to go to iTunes and rate and review us, it helps other people find us. And if you would subscribe, that would be great as well. And you can find us on all different kinds of outlets as well. So wherever you listen to your podcast, search for Gormandburg Girls and you will find us there.
That's right.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening.
Great week.
A great week.
Talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.